ringtone.
This is Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Podbay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a crispy and crunchy and smoky 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Angela and Michael? Can you feel it?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm playing with my new Chrome Robot Turd, and it's covered by the Bipcot No Government License. I've never had a Chrome Robot Turd. I got rid of landline yesterday. I threw away all my landline phones.
Welcome to 2007, Michael.
Thank you. I got this little computer that fits in my pocket. My wife got the same model, and we sat there and learned them together. It was pretty cool.
What did you get?
I got a LG... let's see, it's an LG G Vista 2 Opticore. It's got 8 cores instead of 4, and it's pretty sexy, man. It's pretty cool. It's I like it, although it thinks my location is Shirley Basin, Wyoming, instead of Casper. Shirley Basin's on the other side of the mountain, so like now I'm getting all these ads on Facebook like the Borg has finally found me. Like I avoided giving a location, and finally I'm just like, I just threw open my legs and said to Google, pollute me with pleasure, and you know, let it do its thing. Hey, you just lie back and let Disco Stew do his thing, you know, like that's what Google did. And yeah, so I've been assimilated. Now I'm getting all these ads for like oil rig drilling bit selling companies 4 miles away on the other side of Casper Mountain in Shirley Basin. That's weird. Where I used to just get ads on, you know, for like national things, and now I get ads for not quite my town, but like half a town over. It's weird.
Now, do you have the location enabled? Activated on there? Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, pollute me with pleasure, Google. I submit to the Borg.
Okay, because there's an actual GPS locator which will pinpoint your location.
And yeah, that's how they'll drone me. Tell them to drone me.
Just one time. But you normally use it for different apps like Google Maps, Waze, things like that.
Yeah, you don't have all the cool stuff app. Unless you like allow it to, you know, do its thing. Like Derek Slopey, the Fiend Phone programmer, has this t-shirt that he wore at Porkfest last year. I love it. It's it says Skynet, but it's in the Google logo colors. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
What do you think of that, Angela?
I do not have access to such things.
Why? They don't let you out of your apartment there in California?
I try to avoid a lot of interaction with others.
Me too. But
the
you
world
run
is
like
just too people-y.
It is too people-y. You know, what is it that Mark Twain said? The more I deal with people, the more I like my dog. Yeah. Do you have pets, Angela?
Not living.
Bernie Sanders is a liar, a socialist, and he smells like tinkle and mothballs. Now, yesterday, I've been saying the tinkle thing, and Jeremy added the mothballs thing. And, you know, I was thinking, like, mothballs. I don't think I've smelled mothballs in, like, 25 or 30 years. And I'm not talking about the testicles of flying moths. I'm talking about these things that grandma's house used to smell like. It was this, like, kind of looked like crystal meth. It was this like white crystalline soapy crystal powder. Remember that stuff, Angela?
People still use it.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you could even get it as a solid block
in the
on
Bronx.
Like a coat hanger thing and put it in your closet.
Yeah. Wherever Angela's from, last exit to Brooklyn, Angela. Angela, have you seen my documentary about Hubert Selby Jr.?
I have. I think I was stoned while I watched it.
Wait, when are you not stoned?
Oh, did I say that on the air? Are we on the air? I forgot that we
were
on the air.
Did I think that or just say that? Wait.
Oh, yeah. No, I forgot that, you know, because I forgot. The sound check just sort of came into the edges. Yeah,
well, there's nothing wrong with, according to FCC, you can't cuss. But you can. There's actually an FCC site. Like, they don't list the words you can't say. It's kind of up to them. And they don't actively monitor. It's up to, like, people turning you in and narking you out and, you know, being a fink, turning you in. But there's a section on the FCC site about drug talk on the radio, and it says the FCC takes no action on this. It's up to you. You know, if you don't like it, boycott the station. Basically, is what it says. So. But, you know, we're in a new world where people, you know, young people, a lot of them are on the medical marijuanas. And old people in Florida, well, we got kicked off the air in Florida for saying boobies on the air. And anywhere else that there's old people listening, you know, they're all on a bunch of prescriptions that make them high as heck all the time. So, there.
Those have been, like, blessed by some government official or somebody from the FDA that came out and did a little ritual. He, you know, like, cast a spell of goodness and all that other stuff on those things.
Yeah. Angela's just in training to try to be Sarah Goldfarb in Requiem for a Dream someday.
Oh, God.
I'm kidding. Did you guys see the latest House of Cards? She's in it, man. That actress. No. You know the actress? She's in my Selby movie. What's her name?
Is it Jennifer Connelly?
No, the mother. The one who plays the mother. Come on. Academy Award winner. She was the mother in The Exorcist. Help me out here, D'Angela.
Oh. Hold on. I'm coming.
You're Googling.
I'm just, you know, it's a lot slower than it was a few hours ago. Okay.
It's Ellen Burstyn, man. It's Ellen Burstyn. Burstyn with flavor. Yeah, she's in my movie. She's cool. She's 83 and she's still acting. She actually, did you guys see House of Cards? She is like Academy Award material in that, man. She's she plays a lady who's dying of cancer and then lets her daughter spoiler alert, there's a loving euthanasia of someone who's not youthful or in Asia in that show. It's the only death that's not like, you know, a congressman murdering some prostitute with his bare hands. It's pretty cool. So, what are you guys typing? Lou's typing with his girlfriend. You have a girlfriend. That is so gay.
No, she's actually asleep right now.
Oh, okay. Wake her up. I remember. I'll call her. I'll wake her up with my chromed robot for turd.
No, actually, I'm making Bernie Sanders memes right now.
Yeah, you kids and your memes. You're too busy making memes to do radio. So, Angela...
But these are dank memes.
If you don't love America, move to Somalia. Now tell me why that doesn't work anymore.
Oh, there's so many stories. I forgot there were actually more than one thing to prep about Somalia. But today's was Pentagon, U.S. group troops involved in Somalia raid. Officials insist U.S. troops are just advisors. And of course, you know the joke, if just advisors, that's how Vietnam got started. The U.S. has had troops there. They're nominally advisors with the big air quotes. And they're still insisting that it is, even though there's raids and God knows what else. And I'll get to the next story here in a moment. But this came right after a massive U.S. drone strike against Somalia, which U.S. officials claimed killed over 150 people. Now, Somali officials claim it killed over 200, but... Al-Shabaab insisted that it killed far less because they, you know, they said they don't have that many fighters in a single place, and it's all propaganda. So, who the heck knows?
Yeah,
it's U.S. foreign policy.
Yeah. So, wasn't there a drone strike there this week?
Yes, there was, and it was a bad one. It was, this is the one they're disputing the death toll over.
Supposedly there were 150 people taken out with this drone strike. And I saw a very interesting quote from Glenn Greenwald just a couple of days ago, or yesterday, sometime. And roughly it says, isn't it amazing that 150 people can be killed by a drone strike in a country that your government is not even at war with? And nobody seems to, like, nobody's freaking out. Nobody even really cares.
Were they going after a specific single person, or what was it? Was everyone collateral damage?
There's like little to no information about it, from what I understand.
Yeah, well, what kind of information do they usually give out when they do a drone strike, Angela?
A nonsense.
Yeah.
Name, rank, serial number.
There's a lot of. The way the news is delivered There's just certain wording that makes it so that you know as little as possible. Everything's kind of very always phrased in the passive voice.
Meaning the Pentagon, a drone strike happened, not we right. killed a bunch of people. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And then you've got people like Barbara Starr on CNN who might as well be... It's not that just they cover the Pentagon beat, but they might as well be State Department officials, the way they give the news. Hmm. Which is what the CNN is, essentially. It's this, you know, State Department channel.
Yeah.
It's horrible. It's
Commie News Network.
It's horrible, and I made the mistake of watching it a little last night.
Yeah, did you know that when Dick Cheney travels anywhere, like for a book tour, part of his rider in his contract is like, you know, hotel, it has to be a 5-star hotel, a certain room, certain suite size, two rooms adjoining, connected, and, you know, certain food and drink requirements, and then has to be heated to a certain temperature before he gets there, and the TV has to be on and tuned to Fox News. Do you know that?
I did not know this. Is this online somewhere?
Yeah, it's true. And it reminds me of that Pink Floyd song on the final cut, the Fletcher Memorial Home for Incurable Tyrants and Kings. Do you know that one? You know that one, Lou?
Oh, no.
Oh, it's about you know, a place where, like, Bagan and Reagan and Maggie and Gaddafi can all go retire in this home and walk around the grounds and then watch each other and give press conferences on closed circuit TV to make sure they're still real. It's the only connection they feel. Yeah.
Now, is that when Cheney's doing a book tour signing, or is that when he's performing the angina monologues?
Oh, man. You know, for all my health problems, I gotta say I'm not having much problems with my heart, and it's pretty healthy. It goes pretty fast, but you know, it's like 90 at a resting, but we'll be back after this trip to the market. You can buy some angina pills with colloidal uranium.
Make sure you gotta go with that.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Hey, Lou, call me. I want everyone to hear my ringtone.
Hang on.
Freedom Feeds is just like friends hanging out, and you're invited, you the listener. Hey, Lou, have you gone into the server and turned up the... I'll do it. Here we go. 210.
They're bigger buttons.
There we go.
Dan, it sounds like you have buttons. A very important phone call coming in.
Dan, they're bigger buttons.
I do.
Dan, they're bigger buttons. Dan.
Hello, Lou. Are you there?
No, I hung up on you. I didn't feel like waiting for you to answer.
I'm really enjoying my chromed robot turd. I've never had one before. And my sig line on the email on it says, sent from my chromed robot turd.
Aw.
What?
That's awful neat.
Yeah. Well, it you know, it had the default that's like an ad for the device, like sent from my LG, blah, blah, blah. You know, we not only have LG phones in my house now, we have an LG washer and dryer. And when that dryer is done, it goes ding dong, ding dong. And the theme phone alert tone is my wife imitating that. Theme phone, theme phone. So there. Yep. All right, so that's the fun stuff. And I will put this Dan, they're bigger buttons ringtone in the show notes, and I'm going to tweet it right now on Freedom Fiends Twitter account. So if you want it right now, I'll send it to you. You can go get it. So talk more about drones, and I'm going to be just disgusted. Go ahead.
Oh, Angela? No. Oh, yeah. No, I'm not. I'm disgusted all the time. But that's, you know, a chronic problem. So tonight on the page I was checking out, and the page I'm looking at is antiwar.com, where if you go to the viewpoint section.
I hear they have good stuff. Listener. I hear they're better than Reason magazine.
Well, it, you know, that's not a discussion I'm authorized to have.
I'll say it.
So it's
Go ahead.
I professionally, I love all my libertarian brothers and sisters. all right. Nonetheless, this is a Glenn Greenwald. Most media reports contain nothing more than quotes from U.S. officials about what happened, conveyed uncritically with no skepticism of their accuracy. It explains what the official story is. Fighters were assembled for what American officials believe was a graduation ceremony and prelude to an imminent attack against American troops, pronounced the New York Times. And so it goes on. So the official story goes, the terrorists were at that very moment graduating, receiving their terrorist degrees, and were about to attack U.S. troops when the U.S. killed them. With that boilerplate of set of claims in place, huge numbers of people who have absolutely no idea was killed or certainly all deserve it. Anyway, that's from Glenn Greenwald in today's Intercept. And basically the title is the one that you mentioned earlier. Nobody knows the identity of 150 people killed by the U.S. in Somalia, but most are certain they deserved it.
Wow.
That's weird. Well, if the government killed them, they must be bad.
See, that's what a lot of me, I'm worried that a lot of people listening to this are thinking. And we're going to segue in the next section after the break into this murder of Levi Finicum by the Oregon State Police. And the there was a new video released of it today, more extensive video, picture-in-picture video with audio. And basically how, you know, the government terrorized some people in a car and killed their friend and then just terrorized them for a while before they made him surrender. And, you know, the comments on that are just disgusting. They're so disgusting. They make me think that just like 95% of Americans are pigs. Just pigs. And that's an insult to pigs because pigs are pretty noble creatures compared to the cops that shot those people and killed them and the and terrorized people in the car.
Bootlickers support them.
And the bootlickers
that
support them.
And the bootlickers support them.
At least pigs provide a useful service. You can eat them. And they're kind of smart, too. But, yeah, man. Do you eat pig, Angela?
You mean, do I eat animals? Are you asking me that seriously?
No, I'm asking if you're like kosher or halal or something.
I do not eat animals.
Oh, you're vegetarian. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
I eat pigs.
Yeah,
from
we eat
the
pigs.
Rooter to the tutor. I will.
From the rooter to the tutor. You need a bunch of cats, Angela. I can't be a crazy cat lady anymore because I'm allergic to them all of a sudden. So you should take up the cat torch. I'll mail you some cats. How's that?
I think they're preferred way of travel.
I'll FedEx them in a tube. I'll drug them and FedEx them in a tube like the way they smuggle parrots.
Oh, that's great.
Can she 3D print some?
Mm-hmm. I'll email you some cats, Angela.
Or maybe mine some cats.
Mine them.
That was the hash rate for mining cats.
Bit cats.
Cat coin.
The bit cat. No government license. Did you see the bit tots? Angela, did you see that picture?
Yes, I did.
It's awesome. The bit tots.
I have to run the antiwar.com Twitter during the day.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Did it work, Angela, or was it a few seconds off?
It seemed like it beautifully just melted into green on air.
Yeah. It's sensed by the clock on your computer, so your computer has to be on, too, but... Yeah. So, Angela, you said I'm one of the few people you haven't muted on Twitter, and I'm honored.
Oh, that's right. We're on air. Okay.
There's a lot of nonsense on Twitter, including me.
Yeah. There's just a lot. When we fired all the interns for budget reasons, one of the tasks I took on was social networking, which is just, it's a weird thing, and I'm not a people person, and it forces me to interact in such an unnatural way with the general public. But
I do it from the toilet. Now that I have a chrome robot turd, I can make memes while making turds and post them. Too soon.
The mobile app that I use for making memes, Image Flip, is not bad, but it just doesn't seem to have all the features that the desktop version has.
I use Photoshop, but we're getting this tiny little echo. I think it's one of your headphones. But I used to correct people on that, but I kind of like it now when it ends up on the show because it's kind of psychedelic. It kind of sounds like it's the voice of God falling down a well when the Freedom Fiends are on the air. Can you feel it, Angela? Can you feel it? Is it working?
I feel it in my rotator cuff.
I worked up a sweat so far in this half hour. So I'm going to change my pants while you guys talk about this horrible video. All right. Just explain what the video is. I don't want to bury the lead. What's the video, Lou? What did the government do today, and where'd they touch you on the doll?
Well, they didn't touch me, but they touched an older gentleman in...
An 18-year-old girl.
Oregon. Yeah. This is a video on Robert Lavoie Finicum, one of the snackers from the Malheur Federal Wildlife Refuge incident. One of the guys that took over the federal picnic area. Anyway, he was recently turned into a number two pencil when the FBI or state police, FBI, I don't know, a bunch of government goons filled him full of lead.
There's no lead in a pencil. There's graphite. It's not really lead.
Okay. Well, all right. I guess I just turned him into
Flint, Michigan.
Yeah. I guess I just take it for granted that. but anyway,
you're funny, man. You're a fun guy.
Yeah, I'm gonna be punished for these bad.
You're funny
cliches. But anyway,
you know, I gotta say though, when a woman stays with you and cleans your house, don't feel like, man, I'm the man. She's cleaning my house. She's doing my stuff. Like from experience, I'll say no. It's because we are pigs, and they just don't want to be in a dirty house. That's all.
Yeah. Okay. You keep telling yourself that. But anyway, back to Mr.
Well, later in hour two, Angela and I are going to talk about all the feminists that we banged back in the 80s in the punk rock days. Right, Angela?
Oh, God.
I'll at least provide a good Robin for that Howard Stern kind of nonsense.
Well, hopefully MK Lords will come on. And,
I hope so.
Because then we'll have a full squirm of worms. That's four hosts. We need that. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Angela.
Oh, no. Because, I mean, I'm feeling the whole show everywhere in my... In
your fiend bone?
In my fiend bone, my chest muscles, my shoulders.
Yeah. Like you just have like a drip of pure caffeine right now going into your vein?
Yeah, there's a drip of something.
All right. So, Lou, go on. What did the government do? What did they murder an old man for no reason for?
Well, let me go with the opening line.
He wasn't
line.
That. He's like 3 years older than me.
That's old. Let me go with the opening paragraph of the story from KATU.com. All right. The six shots fired by Oregon State Police, including the three that killed Lavoie Finicum, were justified and necessary. On January 26, Malheur County District Attorney Dan Norris said Tuesday. And in other news, the fox has cleared himself of all wrongdoing in the hen house.
Yeah.
So what happened
the rats,
was...
The rats have been sent to guard the cheese.
Yeah. So what happened, and there's a couple versions of this video out there. One is like, I don't know, maybe 30 seconds, something like that. And it gives the main meat and potatoes. It gives the kill shots. Then there's one that's 12 minutes and 23 seconds long. And it shows his interaction with different fleas and other government goons. And fleas, by the way, are federal law enforcement agents.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's talking about how he's going to a meeting and he's supposed to talk to the sheriff there. And for those of you that are like constitutionally minded, both of you listening to the show, the sheriff, the county sheriff, is actually a constitutional position, and constitution huggers have like some crazy affinity for the sheriff. You know, they act like he's supposed to be.
I think he has more authority than the feds.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe on paper, maybe theoretically, they do, but I mean, if they try to assert it, they'll probably just wind up just like Mr. Finicum. But anyway, hey, no use crying over spilled cops, right? So anyway, the nuts and bolts of this are, this guy was killed, and he was saying, "Look, I'm going to meet the sheriff. If you guys are going to shoot me, then the blood's on your hands. You're gonna have to kill me because I'm going to see the sheriff." And as soon as he says you're gonna have to kill me, the cop says, "As you wish, citizen," and they did.
Yeah, so, I don't think that was suicide by cop, like all the comments you're saying.
No, I mean, there's numerous articles on this, and if you watch a video, they were shooting at the vehicle before it even came to a stop. One of my friends had been watching it. He had said that before he even got out of the car, the rear windshield was shot out. Now, I've only seen the long version like one time, and I didn't check it out in great detail. But what you see inside the video, because this was shot with like a cell phone camera, something like that. Now that you have a fancy
chrome robot turd,
you could take that type of video.
When they shoot me.
I hope you don't have to, but you could.
Now, let me ask you this about your chrome robot turd. Mine, if I'm on the phone, I can take still pictures, but I can't take video while I'm making a phone call. Can you? Can you guys? What?
No, I can't.
That's a bug, not a feature. Right. Because what if you're calling somebody, you know, what if you're calling your friend like, "Hey, my neighbor is trying to murder me," and you're filming your neighbor trying to murder you at the same time?
Then you should be doing it via Skype.
Or that's why you need to go in pairs, so one of you can film and one of you can call.
Or Bamboozer.
Why? Because that'll work? Well, can you film while you use Skype or Bamboozer or Periscope?
Well, with Bamboozer, I believe it will do a live stream.
Yeah.
It does a live stream and it stores it on the internet.
Can you be talking on Skype while you are filming video?
No, you would use the actual Skype video.
Okay.
If you want somebody to see it, and they'd have to record it. So ultimately you're probably better off with something like Bamboozer.
Okay. So, Angela, did you watch this video of Levoy Finicum being murdered?
As I wrote to I think maybe list or maybe at least somebody, that I just did not have the heart to watch that.
Well, you also told me that before the show started, but there are other people listening. See, the Fiends is so much like just a bunch of friends hanging out, because that's what it is, that sometimes we forget there's like 10,000 people listening. So...
Oh, that's right. Yes. Well, it's a horrible. I wrote, I blogged about this, not extensively, but at least I did three or four blogs on it somewhere. And I actually thought, well, I knew it was never going to end in peace, that it was going to end up in long, unjust prison sentence. I somehow convinced myself that it was not going to end in someone getting murdered. But no, it managed, you know, whatever my expectations for government, yes. So it, no, of course, it ended up, it just, part of the problem was, there were several mentions of this in the show, but, you know, there were people on the left whose solution to police brutality wasn't, stop killing black children, it was, you know, start killing white people,
yeah. That's really disturbing to me. And, you know, there's a picture going around, a meme. It's like that fat guy with an oxygen tank like me on one of those cruisers at Walmart that people have disabled themselves with food drive around firing a machine gun, waving an American flag. You know, that's a meme that's out there. And there's a thing going around, I think Lou made it, of like, you know, democracy is the illusion that this guy should have a say in your life. And I was actually going to make a variation.
Mine.
Yeah. That's I was going to make a variation of that today that would have like four people. You know, it'd be like them and then like some that. Who is that like reality TV singer that won a prize that's like something that has boobs and like a beard? Do you know what I'm talking about? It's some trans person won American Idol or something.
Caitlyn?
No. I know this is the song.
Brazilian looking.
Yes, and it was I remember being very.
And then I was gonna have the fat Walmart right winger guy, that weird leftist trans thing, and then like a Black Lives Matter guy screaming kill Whitey, and then like a KKK guy, and say democracy is the theory that all these people should have some say in your life, because really that's what it comes down to, you know.
I'll get on that.
Yeah, that's the four I'd suggest.
Yeah. But and by the way, I made that meme for my chromed robot turd this afternoon.
Yeah, you know, chromed robot turd is a term for mobile devices that are connected to the internet that someone at Gizmodo came up with, this site that reviews tech, like 4 or 5 years ago, and the guy got fired for using that term. Like, it was disrespectful to the tech, and that's the only place I've ever seen that term used, and it quickly died, and I'm trying to bring it back, and I think it's great, and a lot of fiends use it too, and my yeah, man, I love it. They're bigger buttons, Dan.
Now, going back to the story, as you know, the district attorney, whatever it was, cleared the state cops or
local
cops or whoever it was.
State.
But it appears that the feds says here, and as the Oregonian reports, even Justice Department officials grant now there was very possibly something untoward about the whole process. An FBI agent is suspected of lying about firing twice at Robert Lavoie Finicum and may have gotten help from four other FBI agents in covering up afterward, authorities revealed Tuesday. So this isn't anti-government people like you and me and Angela saying this. This is anti-government people like the Justice Department saying this.
I'm no government people.
Yeah,
I'm not anti-government.
Well, I'm not anti-government. I'm just tough on crime.
Here's my theory. Okay, go ahead. Real quick.
The bullets didn't hit Finicum and didn't contribute to his death, but now all five unnamed agents, part of an elite national unit under a criminal investigation by the U.S. Justice Department, and the names of those cops will not be released. Because
my theory is the feds let the state cops do it as a joke on the constitutionalists, because the constitutionalists think the state is a higher authority.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
And no bigger buttons.
Are they really?
What I really want, I want a ringtone of Katie saying, I don't like children. They're sticky and they ask too many questions. Angela, a.k.a. Heather Moreland, we were talking in a break about how the town charter of Springfield on The Simpsons says that the Mayor Quimby, who's based on Ted Kennedy, I think, gets a comely lass and a pig once a year. And Angela's a comely lass. Angela's a stunner. You know, she was on with Ernest Hancock the other day, and he was apologizing for being male because Angela's a big old feminist. But I'm just going to say it. Angela is stunningly beautiful. I mean, there are some pictures I've seen of her lately that are just like jaw-dropping. And I'm not, I would not hit it because she'd hit me. I'm not saying I'd hit it. But Angela, don't think that the world hasn't noticed how pretty you are. So there.
If you only could have incorporated this earlier into the antiwar.com pledge drive, I could have monetized that.
Well, you could make it the ringtone for like the outgoing message at the antiwar.com bunker. Do you have a bunker, a compound there?
Well, the main antiwar.com compound is far north of here, but is it Frisco. Appropriate to mention Cell 411?
Cell 411 is an awesome app. that Virgil Viduvaga, what's his name? It's Romanian. It sounds like a part of a woman's anatomy. Like, hey, baby, touch my Viduvaga. What's his name? Do you know?
I think it's pronounced Viduva.
Yeah, it's Romanian.
I don't know.
Yeah, have you seen the Bernie Sanders meme that's going around? Bernie Sanders apparently said that Romania has faster internet than America, and this is unacceptable. And somebody responded, in Romania responded, yes, that's because we killed our communist dictator on Christmas Day 1989 and opened up free markets.
Oh, yeah. Twitter, yep. The gift that keeps on giving. I'm so glad to be on there now.
So go to getcell411.com. Angela actually voiced a really kick butt ad for this kick butt app that's going to replace the state. And that's your redemption in the third act. You don't need cops. You just need cell 411 and some friends and a rope. No, I'm kidding. Okay, so... and a strong cage in your outhouse. All right. So, Lou, you got some tyranny before hour two where Angela and I are just going to talk about all the feminists that we did back in the 80s while we were picking up needles out of the gutter and sticking them into our eyeballs at CBGB's?
Why, yes, Michael. And I would like to do a little bit of outreach to the Constitution hugger Lickers. Out there.
There's only one now. There were two, but one of them just threw his radio at the wall during the break.
Yeah. For those of you that think that that the problem is just the feds, you think that the
sheriff can federal, save you.
you think that the fleas of federal law enforcement agents are the problem? Well, for the most part, it's not the FBI killing people at traffic stops. And if you look at LaVoy Finicum, he got plugged by state cops working with federal cops. So this notion that the local cop is your friend is just BS. Because when it comes down to it, the local cop is going to turn on you and abuse you even more than he has been doing all this time. It's not the FBI that's revenue generating you at traffic stops. It's not the FBI that's making sure that your grass is the proper height. And matter of fact, making sure that your privacy fence is the proper height because you just can't have too much privacy. And oh, by the way, do you have a permit for that privacy fence? Because this is America. You're not free unless you have all the permits and licenses and blessings of the state. So, yeah, kind of get off that crap and just like realize that all government is the enemy. It's the enemy occupation force. That's what the local cop is.
But Lou. So,
all right, that's it.
But Lou.
But Michael.
America.
America Akbar.
What does that mean?
It means America is great.
California Uber Alice. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, California Uber Alles. So,
welcome to 1984. Knock knocking on your front door. It's the Suede Denim Secret Police. They'll jail you and they'll draft your niece. Come quietly to the camps. You'll look nice as a drawstring lamp. Don't worry, it's for a cause. Feeding global corporations claws. Die on our brand new poison gas. El Salvador, Afghanistan. Make sure that you like President Reagan and all the friends of President Reagan. California Uber Alice. California Uber Alice. We'll be back with a much less government-intensive environment for hour two. Angela's going to put on her slip and dance the tarantella for us. And I will put on my slip and clap.
Right. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Who's doing the intro?
I can do it.
See if you can work the word James Babb show clock in there.
This is Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through libertarian re-education centers, low-orbit, James Babb show clock. High atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite Lib Pair 2017 in the James Babb show clock region. Yeah. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a James Babb show clock license. This allows reuse by anyone except James Babb. Learn more at bipcot.org.
So this
That's
is
all, folks.
This is Freedom Fiends episode 890. I'm hoping that by the time we get to episode 1000, Google or Skynet, as they're known, for creating the Android operating system that's spying on us all the time, but you know, only to like serve us better and know when to bring us a pizza by drone and charge our Bitcoin account if we sign up for that service. I'm wondering if by the 1000th episode, Google will just have enough like sampled fiends to just create episodes for us, you know, that sound like us and what we would say in our voices, and program it all for us.
AI is not a success until it can replicate my stammering and mispronunciation perfectly.
And, you know, I edit a tiny bit of that out, too. Like, I probably, when Luzon, I probably remove 4 or 5 stammers in a 2-hour show just to kind of clean it up. Yeah. Yeah. But, so get on that, Google.
Well, that is the joy of having speech impediments. So
you want to talk about Die Totenhosen. What does that mean? I know what it means, but the people in Utah might not.
Okay, Die Totenhosen means the dead pants. And since we're going to be talking about punk rock and banging feminists in the 80s.
Wow.
What better band to bring up than Die Totenhosen? They're a German punk rock band, and unlike a lot of the really rough sounding punk rock, like you know, the stuff that you used to play or the bands that you played with.
Come on, man. We were more melodic than most punk rock bands, including than Die Totenhosen.
Well, Die Totenhosen is very melodic and very professional.
That's where Green Day stole it all from. Yeah.
They only stole like half of it.
They're influenced by them and Stiff Little Fingers and the Buzzcocks and
But anyway, yeah, Die Totenhosen, very good musicians, very good at playing their instruments and singing and harmonizing the vocals and everything else. And they have some really good...
like the Bee Gees.
They have some really good lyrics, very in-your-face.
Are they German or English?
They're German. They also have an album called Learning English Lesson 1. And the video that I sent you, Carnival in Rio, is a remake, and that's basically all the songs on there are remakes of songs that influence them. So all those are in English, but they also have one called Love, Peace, and Money, where their songs are translated into English. But they have some really good rough, biting lyrics that's really in the face of the establishment. Although they are a bit on the lefty side, not too far left. They're not hardcore lefty, but just maybe center left. But anyway, another use for the word Totenhosen or the words Totenhosen would be if it means nothing's going on. So if you go into a bar and you pay your entry fee and you find out that the place is dead, you walk over to the doorman and say, "Hey, Totenhosen, Geld Zurück, sofort."
Because it's 1990, and it's 1990, and you go in, and it's just these two Americans from the band Bomb dancing and making out on the dance floor to Depeche Mode. Yeah. I remember that. Die Totenhosen, man.
At the Jackpot in Schweinfurt.
Is there a place called that in Schweinfurt? We were hanging out at the...
at that time.
At a Biergarten. I don't know what it's called, but it was like... We'd be in there, and then like all the high school kids would come in and have a beer afterwards, you know. In Europe, like the 16-year-olds can drink in bars, and they don't get hammered and wrap their dad's car around a tree like here. They just have one beer and then go home and do their homework generally.
Well, they have beer breaks during school, so 16-year-olds will go over to the little Gasthaus around the corner from the school at lunchtime and get their beer break.
Yeah.
But they also don't have that prohibitionist mentality where everything is forbidden, and that doesn't cause them to rebel and binge drink and all this other stuff. So, you know, thanks, Puritanism.
So, Angela, you said punk rock ruins your life. I say punk rock probably disabled me and put me on oxygen, but I think it saved my life. I think I would have died if I hadn't had punk rock to play and listen to. And, you know, I remember my friend told me that punk rock saved his life, too. He's like, man, my friend said literally he was ready to kill himself. And then he got Minor Threat's first single and it like gave him a reason to live. And I said, you know, you should write a letter to Ian MacKaye and tell him that. And he was like, yeah, I could just see like Ian and Jeff Nelson sitting there in the Discord Records house, you know. Hey, Ian, I got another letter that says, your record saved my life. What should I do with it? Ian says, yeah, throw it on the pile. I'll get around to answering all of them. So, Angela, how did punk rock ruin your life?
Okay, well, let's just do the short version because I got a bunch of questions for you. I could have had a perfectly successful bourgeois life as a lawyer, probably living in the lovely suburbs of Los Angeles, you know, with a house and three kids, maybe a cat or something.
2.3 kids and 1.1 cats.
Sure, yeah. Okay, yeah. You know, I don't know what the 0.1 cat would look like, but I'm sure it'd be cute.
Really strange. You don't want to take that to the parent-teacher association meeting.
Small, too. Oh.
It is, and you know, instead of having a normal booth, which was completely accessible and obtainable to me, I made mistakes. And you know, if you go into college libertarians in a different period of time, it wasn't, you know, like these kids are pretty nice. But back when I was in college libertarians, the groups, you know, group that became before Students for Liberty and Young Americans for Liberty, you know, we weren't nice people. I mean, we were people who were, you know, it was a hard drug using. Very cynical scene. It wasn't anything like the way youth libertarians are now.
They're all shiny and wear bow ties and ties now.
That's great.
And I'm like, come on, man. You know, there's a line at the end of Demolition Man, and my face is in that movie on Sandra Bullock's wall. My band Bomb, she has a poster of my band on her wall. But at the end of that, Stallone turns to the underground, played by Dennis Leary, the head of the underground, and says, you need to get a little bit cleaned up. And then he turns to like the hyper nanny nerds that run society and says, and you need to get a lot more dirty. I like that, you know. And I kind of think like I clean up real nice, but overall from back then, but I think these college libertarians need to roll around in the dirt a little bit.
I agree.
Yeah. At least go to Porkfest and, you know, have some meat, some stick meat, and accidentally drop it and pick it up 3 second rule off the pine cone covered ground and eat it.
Yeah, get your picture taken with Derek Chase sitting on the throne.
Yeah, yeah.
Or all me, right, so, or Diana.
Okay, so go on, Angela, what's your question?
I'm just stunned by the stick meat. I'm trying to get that image out of my head. Thank you. But, Okay, yeah. So anyway, horrible mistakes are being made right this very moment. However, the worst one for me was, you know, joining college libertarians and getting involved with the punk rock scene at the University of Florida, which led to a series of mistakes, which, you know, ended up ending up becoming
I think a series of mistakes should be the name of your memoirs. You said it twice,
possible.
And it has a nice ring to it. Angela Keaton's series of mistakes.
Yeah, it's a long, you know.
Yeah.
One chapter after another of poor judgment and lack of forethought.
So someone just wrote me and said, Angela is hella cute. Her pinup shots are the reason I started listening to libertarian radio instead of Rush Limbaugh back in the late aughts.
Wow, I saved a life. Man.
You did. You know, for everything we've done on the feeds, we got one email from a guy. We got an email from a guy who said he was about to join the Air Force, and then he started listening to the feeds and decided not to. And I think that, like, it's all worth it for that one guy. It really is.
So it did save a life.
Yeah. All right, yeah, so what's great. Your question? Yes, you from California. And we have Angela from California on the line. What's your question?
Well, so... at what point did you decide you did not want to have a normal life?
When I was 3.
Oh,
at least
good.
By 5. Like, literally, in kindergarten, I was an outcast. Because I was smarter than the teachers. I hated authority. I could read really well in kindergarten. The first day of kindergarten, I grabbed a book and started reading it out loud. And kids... my age looked at me like I was a Martian. And the teacher was like, oh, you could read. I was like, yeah, my mother taught me. And she dragged me up in front of the class and had me read a Dick and Jane book all the way through to the whole class. And then, like, kids bullied me because I could read. Think about that, you know?
Can I say the line from Idiocracy that applies to this?
Yes. So many, but yes.
Yeah. You talk all faggy and stuff. Because you can
yeah.
read.
Yeah.
And that's actually a real thing. People actually criticize people for being intelligent. It's not an isolated incident. It's almost, dare I even say, commonplace. I really have no idea why people would think somebody is defective for being intelligent. And I personally think that if you're not intelligent, you are defective.
But yeah, and I got to point out, too, for anyone who hasn't seen Idiocracy, the guy who's telling our hero that he talks all faggy and stuff is the guy's attorney, and he's saying it in court.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to do all the spoilers.
All right, Angela, I'm going to, like, this is going to be like audio erotica to you, but to answer your question, I'm almost 52. I watched the Vietnam War on TV. I watched the moon landing on TV. I watched Nixon resign on TV, all live. The Vietnam War blew my mind about how wrong it was. And I knew it was wrong at age 5. And it wasn't my parents. It was kind of my sisters. But my parents were like Nixon voting Republicans. And I just knew it was wrong that people were over there killing people. And for a long time, I was anti-gun because I thought, I didn't realize that you can be anti-war and pro-gun, which is what I am now. I'm very anti-war, and I'm surrounded by guns, and I'm willing to use them to defend my life and that of the people I love. But I would never go across the sea to blow up wedding parties to kill one person who might not like America. But I'll tell you more about how anti-warism is my longest-running, consistent belief that goes against the grain of society when we get back from this trip to the market that does not include the military-industrial complex, but has some other stuff that's interesting.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd. Available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms. Worms.
Yeah, the real fun on the Fiends happens during the breaks. Y'all don't get to hear it. So,
well, Angela, every once in a while they get to hear it. Every once in a while you'll record the banter during the break and put it into the podcast. But you don't do it all the time. That way people appreciate it. It keeps people coming back looking for more.
Yeah. So Angela asked me like how long I was a anti-disestablishmentarianism, and I said at least as far as kindergarten. And really, what it really goes down to is, like, of all the weird, wacky stuff I believe my whole life, the one thing that's been consistent since I was a little kid was anti-warism. And Angela runs an organization called antiwar.com, so I thought she would appreciate this answer. Basically, here's what happened. I remember one day, I was probably in first grade, We had a foreign exchange student staying with us from Belgium, this woman named Magda. And it was through Rotary International. My dad's a Rotary International dude. And my sister was in South Africa, in Windhoek, South Africa, enjoying apartheid, I guess. When did apartheid end? It was still going on in the 70s, hard, right? Yeah.
Yes, it wasn't until like 85 when people started realizing, oh, this is probably a bad idea.
Yeah, so this was like 69, 70. I was born in 64. So this is like probably 1970 when I was in like first grade. And one day, like I'd been watching, you know, on the Vietnam War. Like that was, what people have to remember is that's the first war where it was televised, you know? Like, yeah, in World War II, they, you know, like showed newsreel clips in the movie theaters, you know, propaganda stuff. But, you know, Vietnam, they had embedded reporters. They didn't have satellite trucks and stuff. They were shooting on film cameras, but like they'd fly the film back and within 3 days, like it would be on the news. So, you know, and it was the first time they actually showed like bodies in body bags coming back and actually showed like bloody soldiers in color. And, you know, it wasn't really that good for America. America didn't like that. And they actually had, what I remember most distinctly, was they had a scoreboard of our quote-unquote dead and their quote-unquote dead each day. It was like a football scoreboard, and it really freaked me out. And that was horrifying to me. And so the next day, after one of these nights of watching, you know, Walter Cronkite on the evening news, I didn't want to go to school. And my reason was I didn't want to go to school because I didn't want to grow up, because if I went to school, I'd have to grow up. And if I grew up, I thought I'd have to be a soldier. And that was my logic. And it made sense to me at six. And I told my mother that. And I told Magda, our foreign exchange student from Belgium, who I really liked. I liked her a lot. She was really cool. I mean, I think I had a little six-year-old boy crush on her even. She was like 16 or something. So maybe 18. You know, college student, like high school, college student age. And she got me to go to school by telling me about her two brothers who were soldiers and how brave they were and how wonderful they looked in their uniforms and how their family was proud of them and their town was proud of them and their nation was proud of them. And I knew it was bullcrap, but I liked Magda, so I went to school because she told me to with that story. But I knew that story was bullcrap, and I don't know, man. It just, I hated war. So there's your answer. Let's talk about punk rock.
That's great.
Anti-war fundraiser, copyright.
That's fantastic. So
put a Bipcot on it. If you love it, put a Bipcot on it. Go on. What do you want to know?
Oh, so at some point you must have learned how to use a record player.
Before that, I learned how to use a radio. There was a tube radio with tubes in it. And this is like when by this time there were transistor radios, but they were kind of rare and kind of expensive. And there was a tube radio in the closet. Like, okay, when I was born, my mother was 40 and my dad was 43. My brother was in college and my sisters were in high school. I was a happy accident. I was welcome. They, you know, raised me with love. But I asked my mother one time, like, was I an accident? And she thought and looked real thoughtful and paused for a minute and then said, you were conceived and raised in love, Michael. And, you know, I was. But so I had these older brothers and sisters, and I had all their hand-me-downs, and I had like, you know, some Rolling Stones records and some Beatles records and this radio. And I used to actually love to take baths when I was a kid. Like, it felt embryonic to me, and I would take like three a day for like an hour at a time. And I would put this like plug into the wall tube radio on the edge of the tub. Like, think how insane that is. Like, if that had fallen in the tub, I would have died. But I did this like every day, and I listened to, you know, the pop radio station in Buffalo and listened to Yummy 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 I Got Love in My Tummy and One-Eyed One Horn Flying Purple People Eater, and fell in love with music. The weirder the better, the darker the better too. Like, you know, I like that song about Billy Joe McAllister jumping off the Tallahatchie Bridge more than I liked Disco Queen.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com.
This is a Freedom Fiends. that clock is moving.
Yeah, this is Lou, and I'm joined by Angela. And MWD went to the WC. And,
I'm back.
Oh, wow, that was quick. Did you even wash your hands?
No. I didn't pee on him.
My God.
Pee on me.
Did you go to the bathroom or the potted plant in the corner? That was really quick.
Yeah, there's a coffee cup on the table. My empty coffee cup.
So the way it was going to work was Angela was going to ask questions, and I was going to answer them as if I were you.
Oh, that's good.
You know, with what I think you would answer. Okay. So, but I guess you could go ahead and answer them now.
What do you want to know, Angela? I do got to say, before you start, I'm going to do what I do, which is ask someone and then cut them off. But so did Ernie Hancock really apologize for being male to you? That's what I heard.
It's Ernie. It's 7, 8, you know, like, I have to get up really early to do that show, and I think I started at 6. So, yeah, I have no idea what he said. He could have been saying anything. I had to drink a lot of coffee so I could.
He apologized because you're a feminist. And, I won't do that. I mean, I'm not going to insult you, and you're you, and that's cool, and I love having you on The Fiends. But I spent the 80s and 90s, really having rough consensual sex with a lot of feminist strippers and nailing them to the center of the earth with my man bone, my fiend bone, and whispering sweet somethings in their ear. And it was really special. So there, punk rock, man. Punk rock's a hell of a drug.
there's nothing I can come back with that, I guess, except maybe ask why do people like 70s classic rock at all?
I want to know where MK Lords is. Speaking of, well, she wasn't born in the 80s, but she's a girl. You and her were going to talk 90s? About marijuana tampons, weren't you?
Yeah, well, there's suppositories.
Colloidal marijuana suppositories to keep away the New World Order?
If necessary, yes. You know, you never know what's going on down there.
You can gird your loins against the Muslim invaders.
I really hope that's one of those clips that's not taken out of context.
It's very out of context. It's an inside joke that doesn't work outside my house, but I'll explain it. I was, you know that ad I have that's about voting, my fellow Americans. It's TJ, wife, talking about how dumb voting is. So I made that on July 4th, 2 years ago, and it's got the patriotic music playing in the background. I think it's America the Beautiful, really stirring rendition of it with an orchestra. And I was making that with my windows open. It was really hot that July 4th. And instead of turning on the AC, I just opened the windows and I'm blasting America the Beautiful. And my wife came in and said, the neighbors are going to think you're being patriotic and girding your loins against the Muslim invaders. Because that's what people in Wyoming would probably think.
Oh, gosh. I really have to get to know someone better before I'm girded.
Girded. So what's your question about...
Oh, why? I mean, just isn't... Ultimately, isn't all classic rock a sham? Isn't Led Zeppelin actually horrible?
No, they're great.
Bite your tongue.
Yeah. And, Minor Threat, Ian MacKaye, I mean, every interview I've ever heard with him, including the one I did with him for my movie DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist. Have you seen that one, Angela?
No, I have not.
That's on YouTube. You should see it.
I will.
It's shorter. It's like 55 minutes long. It's got Lydia Lunch in it and Richard Kern and Mike Watt and, you know, Ian McKay and all sorts of people. So
it sounds okay.
It is okay. Yeah, so in that, like, you know,
Pork Fest.
Yeah, so I asked him, you know, why'd you start playing guitar? And he said, because of Pete Townsend, you know? And this is like it's surprising to people. Like, you know, he liked Ted Nugent and he liked The Who. And he said he used to get in arguments with his friends about who's tougher, Ted Nugent or the Ramones, when he was like 16. And his friend would say the Ramones, and he hadn't really heard him, and he'd say, no, Ted Nugent's tougher. And then his friend played him the Ramones, and he's like, wow, I think this is pretty tough, man. I like this. So, yeah, I mean, and he said this thing that was, I really liked too. He said that, like, you know, the reason he became a singer instead of playing guitar at first was like, and the reason, like, it was weird to even start a band was because he said rock and roll in the 70s was like this gallery of princes and princes. And, you know, like, you know, some kid from suburban Arlington, Virginia isn't invited to that party, basically. You know, it's like these people that live in castles in England is how I looked at it. But no, Led Zeppelin were amazing. I don't know where you could possibly believe that they're not, but, you know, there's no accounting for taste. A lot of classic rock sucks, but they're great.
Okay, so you do agree, though, that a fair bit of it is unlistenable now.
Not Led Zeppelin. It's all listenable. They only have one bad song. It's that one where they try to sound like James Brown.
I'm going to tell you about my good friend.
That one?
Oh,
that's bad. Also, that song Down by the Seaside is pretty bad. But other than that, you know, 2 out of 150 isn't bad. No. So that question's been answered, asked and answered. What's next, counselor?
Well, do you listen to any popular music now?
No. No, because I'm old. And old is not an age. Old is when you stop listening to current music. Like, the currentest music I listen to is Minor Threat. So, you know, they broke up in, what, 81, 84? I don't know. I mean, occasionally I'll hear some stuff here and there, usually in the soundtrack of some HBO special or something. I really like this song by this chick. She kind of sounds like the band Cream. Mammillary Locomotion. Do you know that song? It's great, man. I love it.
No, I will have to look into that.
Who is it? It's Mammillary. Oh, Abby May is the singer's name. This song is so cool, man. It sounds like Cream, but like hip and updated. Here. Get exposed to that because, like, I hear it on The Sopranos or something, and then I'm like, wow, who is that? I'm gonna look that up.
That was great, in spite of its proximity to Cream. That's, yeah. Cream is never a selling point.
I'll send you that link and I'll put it in the show notes. Yeah, Abby May. It's the only song I like by her. It's amazing, though. And, you know, it was in Entourage, which someone described quite aptly as Sex in the City for dudes.
But unlike Sex and the City, I actually enjoyed Entourage.
Yeah, it's funny. It's a good show. It's well written and smart. But that song's at the end of one of them. All right, next question. Ask me anything.
Why did Bob Seger have a career?
That's kind of off topic.
Because Budweiser. My least favorite.
Because Budweiser.
It's just my least favorite.
Yeah, I played with a guy. I played with a drummer who ended up playing with Bob Seger, like well after Bob Seger's hiatus. This guy Michael Urbano, who played in my band Slish, played with Bob Seger.
And didn't he go Smash Mouth too?
Yeah, he was the drummer in Smash Mouth.
Sheryl
Crow.
Like
this, yep, Sheryl Crow, and Cracker. He plays on one of the coolest songs ever written. I gotta play it. It's while Angela thinks of another song about punk rock. This is Michael Urbano on drums, and this is one of the coolest songs ever. I loved this song when it came out, man.
Is this low?
This should have been Angela instead of Sandra Bernhardt looking stone in this video, I think.
All right. She's punching.
Yeah, yeah. Remember that? You remember
it. That's great.
You instantly remember the MTV video when you hear that.
Yep. Yes.
So, what do you want to know?
It's beautiful.
Ask me anything.
What do I want to know? Okay. Why, when you could have probably done a whole bunch of different things in entertainment or journalism, why libertarian radio late at night?
Well, I didn't set out to do this. So I wanted to be a train conductor until I was 5, and then I wanted to be a scientist until I was 12, and then I entered puberty and learned to pleasure myself, and then I wanted to be a rock star. And so I worked on that for 10 or 15 or 20 years, and got signed to Warner Brothers, toured America, toured Europe, broke up, and then hit 30 and got off heroin. Like, I got off heroin 2 weeks before my 30th birthday. So, I hit 30, which was like a landmark to me. Like, I always said I'd be dead by 30. So, I turned 30. I wasn't dead. And I was like, it takes about 2 weeks to quit heroin to where you, aren't sick. So, my 30th birthday, I was, coming out of my shell and reemerging. And I had no marketable skills. My skills were, getting chicks who are hot out of my league to sleep with me and making them want to come back and playing bass and singing. And those really weren't marketable skills in San Francisco because there's such an abundance of all three of those things. It's a saturated market. I had to reinvent myself. So basically I went to college. The first time I went to college, I went for 2 years and I flunked out because I was just messing around. And then when I was 30, I went to college for 2 years and basically learned to be a secretary. I learned to type. I learned to write business letters. I learned computers. I learned Microsoft Office and I learned to do resumes. And then I started temping in law firms in San Francisco's financial district for a few years. But while I was doing that, I was writing my novel, at my desk working, at the San Francisco Convention and Business, Visitor Center or Morrison and Forrester Law Firm, things like that. MOFO, as they call themselves. So, basically what I did was I had to reinvent myself. I started writing books and then I started writing books for a living.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hey, there's some Squizzcar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons. And you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And Ask Me About My Worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch, now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
That's a beautiful clock that just beautifully made that went to green as soon as you spoke.
You are so mesmerized by the clock. I am too. It's pretty cool. James's show clock thing. Yeah. So now that I have all my contacts on one Chrome robot turret, I was looking through them and I was like, you know, I'm not on the FBI's top 100 people they haven't arrested list yet, but I was looking through my phone list and it's like people who the government's definitely aware of, or, you know, not necessarily want to arrest, but it's like Angela Keaton, you know, anti-war, was under investigation from the FBI at some point. They're spying on you. That's a fact. Cody Wilson, I have his number in my phone book, you know, the printable gun guy. Lynn Albrecht. Yeah, it's Boston Tea Party. So it's like I'm not on the top 100 list, but I think a lot of my friends are probably have someone personally assigned to them. I don't think the Fiends have anyone assigned to them yet at the NSA. I think they have I think LRN.FM has one person assigned to them listening to all those shows. That's what I think. So Angela's a professional libertarian. I wish I were. But, you know, I don't know. I'm maintaining my amateur status so I can compete in the Liberty Olympics.
Yeah, and you do.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, being a professional just changed things, you know. And there's a lot of glamour. It's a lot to keep up with.
Yeah, I don't go anywhere that have red carpets. You do. You don't ever have. You have to pick out a dress sometimes. I don't pick out a dress.
It's amazing. It's an amazing way of life. It's a huge thing. It's the punk rock ruined my life thing. But
what's your question? I guess I didn't finish. God. I guess I finished your question, but like 30 seconds into the break. So basically, real quick, while you think of another question. And this is redemption in the third act. So, you know, I learned to be a secretary. I temped at Morrison & Foerster and San Francisco Convention and Visitors Bureau and a bunch of places in the San Francisco Financial District wearing a tie. And I learned how to be normal. And I learned how to, like, do computer stuff and got really good at it and wrote my novel and then started writing tech books and made a living at it for, like, 10 years. And while all my other friends that played in punk rock bands are like, they're like 50 and balding and fat and like still trying to stuff themselves into their leather pants and play the same clubs that they played back then. And that's kind of sad. And I'm doing talk radio and it's kind of cool. And yeah, please donate. Okay, so what's your question real quick? We got a couple minutes here.
Why Fiends?
Why the word Fiends or why?
No, why the show?
This show is an extrapolation of my band Bomb. This show is a punk rock show in a way that no other talk radio is. Kind of the dynamic that we have, the I'm not even that important. The thing is, the Fiends are, you know, which was proven by me being really sick for a year. I mean, this is the first show I've done all four segments of. I think I did one like a month ago, but I haven't done all four segments of a show in months, I think. Maybe I did one, but not many. And I'm kind of lightheaded from it, actually, but I'm getting a little better slowly. Go ahead.
It's a punk rockinist, hip-hopinist show on radio.
Yeah. That was an ad we used to have when you were a listener. Yeah, you know.
I wasn't even a Fiend in the Field yet.
Yeah, yeah. You weren't even a Fiend, like a guest, you know, interviewer and stuff. And, you know, I've said it before. It's like Lou's journey kind of reminds me of my friend London May, who played in the band Sam Hain. And he wrote the liner notes for their live record, too. It's this thing called From the Mosh Pit to the Drum Riser. And it talks about how he was a huge fan of that band and then ended up being their drummer and how cool that was. And like Lou listened constantly to the Fiends and ended up being a head Fiend, you know, to the point where he's leading shows and bringing in other Fiends and doing God's work here. Yeah.
Yep. MK just emailed, got caught in traffic.
Yeah. Okay, we were not going to tell her that we're calling this episode Waiting for MK Lords, which is based on, there's a record by called Lester and Chester. It's Les Paul and Chet Atkins. It's a great guitar record, instrumental entirely. It's those two and a bass player and a drummer. And there's a song called like Waiting for Steve or something like that, or like whatever the drummer's name was. And it's the one song without drums on it. It's funny because they like wrote it while they're waiting for Steve. And it's cool.
That's neat. So,
yeah. Been a good show, y'all. Thank you, MK. I mean, MK. Thank you, MK, for not showing up and making me talk more. I'll suffer tomorrow. Thank you, Angela. Thank you, Lou, for your service.
Thank you, Michael. And for more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com.
Hey, do you know Jeremy was in the Army, Lou?
No, I didn't.
You're not the only veterinarian in the Fiends now.
Huh.
Wow. Thank a veterinarian for your service. His service.